Good morning and happy Easter. What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us continue our preparation for our worship of our Lord God by joining together in our hymn of preparation. The presence of the Lord surely is in this place this morning. I hope you can feel it like I do. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. And if you are visiting with us this morning, and I see a lot of visitors out there, we welcome you. We want to extend a very special welcome to you. If you're a visitor looking for a church home, we invite you to please give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew so that we can have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. As I would like for you to now pass those attendance pads down the pew, and members and visitors alike, please register those. Please get a little bit closer to your neighbors this morning. Wish them a happy Easter, and let's make room for everyone that would like to join us this morning. On Sunday, April the 23rd, we will have a luncheon and silent auction. The silent auction will begin at 9 o'clock a.m. that Sunday morning and luncheon immediately following the service. This will be a luncheon, the proceeds of which will be to benefit our Brazil mission trip. You'll notice in your newsletter this week that we still need $5,000 toward that mission trip. So if you would support that luncheon, tickets will be on sale, I think, immediately following the service today, just outside the door here to my left. Also, if you would like to make a contribution for that mission trip, just do so and indicate on your check that it is for the Brazil mission trip. Our gathering series continues this Wednesday night, 5:15, with the program at 6:15. The program continues to be a study of the Book of Acts by Reverend Dennis. You can make reservations by using the yellow cards in the pew racks. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
you please stand for the call to worship? Christ the Lord is risen. Christ the Lord is risen indeed. Let us rejoice and be glad for the riches of his mercy. Christ the Lord is risen. Through him there is the promise of new life and new beginning. Christ the Lord is risen indeed. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we, who celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection, may, by the renewing of your Spirit, arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
As we come to our time of prayer, I call to your attention our prayer concerns, which are contained on the back of your bulletin. I'd like to add to those concerns that our program director, Kathy Kelly, apparently broke her ankle this morning, of all mornings. I know that she would love to be here rather than in the emergency room, but that is where she is. Let us be in prayer for her healing and for the time that she'll need, the patience she'll need. Oh, most of all for Kathy, the patience she will need to stay off of that ankle and recover. We have many people who have lost and grieve at this time, and Easter is a wonderful day in which we have hope over the power of death. We pray for Lamar Maxey, who buried his mother yesterday, for the family and friends of longtime member Grace Agnew, and for Peggy Joyce upon the loss of her husband, Larry, and for the entire Main Street congregation who this last week buried your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith Falal. David Byers asked that we pray for his son-in-law who is in the Middle East, that we continue to be in prayer for Emily King, your former pastor, Reverend Larry Jenkins, recovering from surgery, Elliser Holder, Kyle Bennett, Ray Ballantyne, Carol Bateman, my mother, Carolyn Dennis, Joyce Bartless, Lieutenant Brad Deloach, Beth Gray, David Abney, and Bette McCord Bly. Add these concerns, I pray, to your concerns as we lift our prayers up together to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, sometimes it feels like we've spent our whole lives waiting. Like the disciples, we sit together because we know something is going to happen. We stay locked in our rooms, afraid to go out, afraid to move forward, afraid to look back. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts as you sent the Spirit into the upper room of the disciples. Come into our hearts like a storm inside a closed room. Change everything. Pick us up and spin us around and make everything new. Give us that one moment when all things are possible by you. And we feel that we can do anything in your name. Give us the chance. Give us the power to change. And let us show you that we can change and shed your light and share your light in the world. That we can be the creations who honor their Creator with new hearts and new love and new forgiveness and hope to share. Lord, make us new as we celebrate new life on Easter Day. And in this Easter hope, we pray for those who grieve and suffer loss and despair. And we pray for the world and what we have made of it. We pray for the leaders of the nations of the world that they be more open to the influence of your Holy Spirit. We pray for this church. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our families and for our witness. Hear now, Lord, the private prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in a moment of silent prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We ask the children to come forward now for the children's message this morning with Lorraine Stockman.
Collection plate's coming for you all to put your money in, so if you just wait just a second. Yeah. If you all would just pass the collection plate when it comes by, and if you brought any money up, if you just drop it in that plate for us, thank you. You want to have a seat and sit down? You want to sit in somebody's lap? Well, you can come sit up here right next to me. Y'all can move in a little closer, y'all that are down the aisle. Y'all want to come in a little closer? I want y'all to be able to watch Miranda, who's sitting over here on my right side. She's going to be making something as I tell y'all a story, so I thought y'all might like to be able to see what she's doing over here, okay? So if you can't see, scoot in real close, okay? Did you all know that the very saddest story in the whole Bible really turns into probably the happiest story? What do you think that saddest story might be? Anybody
God
got any?
Dead.
God is dead. Okay.
God was alive.
That's right. Anybody else?
Jesus died on the cross.
Thank you. You are so right. It was when Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus.
And Jesus died inside the rock.
He was buried inside the tomb in the rock, wasn't he? Well, we're going to get to that in just a little bit, okay? When Jesus came into Jerusalem, the people were just so excited about Jesus because they wanted to make him their king. Well, you know what? That made some of the religious leaders very angry and, of course, really jealous. We think we're going to have to get rid of Jesus, the leaders said. People are starting to listen to him instead of us. Well, were they really doing the right thing? They really should have loved Jesus just like we do. But instead, these leaders started telling horrible lies about Jesus. And you know what? More and more people began to believe those lies. Then one night, an angry crowd came into the garden where Jesus was praying. The guards arrested Jesus and they took him away. Jesus was then put on trial, and the judge said, "Well, I don't think Jesus did anything wrong," but the crowd shouted, "Crucify him!" And since the judge was really afraid of that angry crowd, he just let them take Jesus away. They made Jesus carry a very heavy cross to the top of a very big hill, and then they hung Jesus on that cross to die. Jesus could have saved himself, but he didn't. He knew that if he gave his life, all of us could be forgiven for the wrong things that we do. Jesus loved us so much that he died on that cross for our sins. Well, some of Jesus' friends took his body and they buried it in a tomb. Well, I better let Miranda catch up so y'all can see the story here. Can y'all tell what she's cutting out so far? A cross, that's right. She'll hold it up for you. How about now? Can anybody tell what this is? That's right. That's right. That's exactly what that is. Well, after Jesus was buried in a tomb, they put a great big stone in front of that tomb. See that big mess? Then Jesus' friends were very sad, and they all went home and cried. 3 days later, some women who were followers of Jesus went to the tomb to take care of Jesus' body. When they got to the tomb, the big stone was rolled away. They went inside the tomb, but Jesus' body was gone. Suddenly, two bright, shiny angels appeared and said, "Jesus is not here. He has risen from the dead." Well, the women ran back and told the disciples everything that had happened. Peter and John ran all the way to the tomb. They looked inside, and sure enough, it was empty. Jesus had risen from the dead. Later that day, Jesus appeared to Mary, his disciples, and his other friends. Then many days later, Jesus went back to heaven. See, I promised y'all that that sad story was going to turn into a happy one. Jesus went back to heaven, and someday he'll take everyone who believes in him to heaven to live with him forever. I think I'd really like to go there, wouldn't y'all? Wouldn't y'all like to go up to heaven and live with Jesus? Well, we're going to give Jesus thanks right now for dying on that cross so that we can all go to heaven. Let's bow our heads. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for loving us as much as you did, that you would die on the cross for our sins. Thank you for being stronger than death and rising again to live in heaven. Thank you for your promise to take everyone who believes in you to be with you in heaven someday. Amen. Thank y'all for coming. Y'all have a nice Easter.
I hesitate to say let us pass the peace because so many folks are here who haven't seen each other since this time last year. I may lose control. But let us pass the peace.
Great job, Jim. Jim, you were bold to say that.
It's true.
Bold but true.
God's peace. If I put this in my ear, don't take it personally.
Thank you. Epistle reading for this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Thank you.
Creator God, you have given us enough for our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Please remain standing for the Gospel from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin which had been on his head not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Join me in this affirmation for growth potential. I believe that God is good. I believe we possess God-given potential for growth beyond our understanding. I believe God wants to empower our lives by the Holy Spirit. I believe God created the church to continue the ministry and mission of Jesus Christ. I believe the church is called to be an outpost for the kingdom of God on earth. I believe my congregation has abilities for growth beyond my understanding. I believe God is now giving new dreams and vision for God's people to help a hurting world. I believe together we will make a difference. I believe God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I overheard one of our members this morning complaining about her memory. I'm not naming names, but she said, pretty soon I'll be able to hide my own Easter eggs. And I am not going to attempt to delve into the mysteries of what a male rabbit delivering dyed chicken eggs and chocolate has to do with Easter. I leave that up to parents. You're on your own. But once I was doing, as Lorraine was, an Easter children's sermon, and I was trying to call their attention to the Easter lilies, and I made the mistake of asking them a question. That's always a mistake. And I said, do you see anything different about our church today? And one little girl looked around and she said, yeah, it's full. I know there are people here today on Easter who have not been here before and others who are here once a year. And so the stakes for preaching are high. So I'll get to the point. All the sermons recorded in the New Testament are based on one miraculous event. An event which changed cowardly disciples into fearless apostles. All the recorded sermons record what changed these men and women from grief-stricken to giddy and excited about spreading the good news. It was Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah. He was crucified, dead and buried, then resurrected and ascended. He was the firstborn of a new creation. A new thing that God is offering us all. A do-over for the whole world. And this is not symbolic, but actual. And there were living witnesses to say so. Even non-Christians such as the Jewish historian Josephus records the same. Now, just after the cross, the disciples were not witnesses to anybody. They were hiding. They had the doors locked. They had the windows shuttered. And they were sending out for pizza so they could slide it under the door. They weren't opening for anybody. And many men gained a reputation, you need to know, for having a following in Jesus' day. And many men were killed in Jesus' day when they attracted too much attention. And for the most part, these men are forgotten footnotes. And at first, things went the same way for Jesus. His followers scattered and they thought the dream was over. And his enemies thought that he would be forgotten. And we can't blame the disciples for scattering, for doing what was natural. They ran and they hid. But something happened. And this is the proof in my mind from human psychology that is better than an empty tomb. functional cowards were transformed into fearless apostles who faced death publicly and unafraid. Now the cynical of this age say this. They logic this way, as if this is logic. They say, miracles cannot happen, therefore they did not happen, therefore the resurrection is a lie. I hear that. Now that passes for deep thought, but it isn't. It isn't thought at all. It's simply a dismissal of any possibility of anything you don't know ever happening, and that makes you the measure of all things. It's arrogance, not logic. God may be capable of things that you have never conceived of. Easter is one of those things. Good Friday and the Easter that follows is not just an old story. Parts of it replay every day around us if we pay attention. Parts of it. Good Friday is a perfect example of what we now call spin control that we see in the news all the time. The religious establishment wanted to stay in power, and the Roman representatives, both Herod and Pilate, wanted to stay in power. And so no one in particular took responsibility for the decision to have Jesus killed. The Jews could say, we do not have authority to pronounce a death sentence under Roman rule, even if this man blasphemes by making himself equal to God. So Pilate sent him to Herod, and Herod sent him back to Pilate, and Pilate, you remember, publicly washed his hands of the entire decision. And the gathered crowd one moment hailed him as the Messiah, the Son of David, and the next moment they yelled out, crucify him. And so it was, and so it is now. No one and everyone is to blame. A 3-year-old named Sean accompanied his father to his first Easter worship service. And the father tried to explain in this church, a full-size crucifix above the altar. And so he said to his 3-year-old son, Jesus died because people nailed him to the cross. And the little boy's eyes widened and he looked around. He said, you mean these people? Yes, in a way, we all did. And one prophetic note came from the crowd when Pilate asked, why crucify him? What has he done? The crowd yelled, his blood be upon us. And it was, and it still is, but that is not a bad thing. His blood was the fulfillment of the precursor we saw in the Passover in Egypt. The blood of the lamb saved them from death and led that night the children of Israel out of bondage and into freedom. And Jesus, John the Baptist proclaimed, was the true and final Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In 1 John it says, if anyone does sin, and I would have you raise your hands if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are able to live a life in God only because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. It makes me sick. It really does. When I hear somebody say, I hope I'm good enough to get into heaven. How good would that have to be? How good would that have to be to make God owe you something? New life and eternal life are gifts. Gifts wrought by God in Christ. We are enabled and empowered to live new lives because Christ, the second Adam, He is called, has taken on sin and death and the powers of this world and was buried, then arose to new life. He was proof of God's reality, God's dream for this world, God's healing of this world, God's recreating of this world, the new heaven and the new earth which were promised. Jesus is the firstborn of the fulfillment of that promise. That's what it means. He is the second Adam. He's the preview of what is to come. We are becoming new when we are strangely detached from this world and its values. The deeper we give ourselves to God, the more we feel that. We are becoming new the more we feel compassion for friend and foe. As we give ourselves to God and God creates in us new hearts and new spiritual power to forgive as we have been forgiven. We are becoming new. When we, unlike the rich young ruler, meet Christ and understand that when there's a choice between trusting riches and trusting God is the better way to go. The things that divide us, though, are not godly things. They are man-made and woman-made. They are political spin that makes us enemies of each other, including race politics and economic politics and denominational politics, inside the church politics. Yes, that too. And all these things echo deeply of the spin and the distrust and the dislike between the Romans and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the screaming, fickle mob. Between all of them, each other, and then Jesus. Jesus, who was only and always on God's side and on the side of the enemies who truly knew not what they were doing. We still don't know what we are doing, and worse yet, we don't seem to know that we don't know. Jesus is on our side and on God's side. The Word made flesh, whom we nailed to a cross and buried in a tomb and then went back to business as usual, as if nothing had changed. We like to pretend. Children and adults also like to pretend. And I think that is why people like to buy lottery tickets. I don't think it's to support public education. It is to hold the ticket and pretend how wonderful and how different your life would be if you had the power and the freedom that money can buy. Only it can't, and it doesn't. And if you've read the studies of the winners of large lotteries, you find out it has not. Scripture tells us you can pretend all you want. You can own all you want, but your soul was made for God, and the whole world, if you owned it, could not buy it back. God in Christ on the cross bought back your soul from sin and death. And the Easter resurrection is proof of God's victory. But we pretend. We pretend that Jesus is an old-fashioned name and sung in hymns and such, and taught some nice things, but not really relevant to the serious subjects of our life. We pretend that there are things which matter more than loving God and loving neighbor. We pretend that enough money might fix our problems or cure all poverty, our education, our health care, or make war obsolete, make racism and hatred and divorce and drug abuse just go away. We pretend that allocation of money will fix these things, but I remind you of the lottery winners. Remember that what is wrong with us is that we are broken. We are broken off from God and we are broken off from each other, and that is the first and the biggest problem which nothing on this earth can fix. We are cut off with selfish hearts to begin with. And all the rest are mere symptoms of the sin which infects us and isolates us. Jesus died and took upon Himself the infection of sin. And the hatred and the self-loathing and the isolation and the destructive greed and lust, these are some of the names of the powers of this world, which we dare not name in our lives, but only notice in the lives of others. But God knows. And true repentance is when we know that they infect us as well. The death Jesus died, He died to sin. The new life and the new body He arose in is the preview of what we one day shall become, a new creation. And bits of that new creation can and should shine through even now. Even now as we give ourselves over to God's Holy Spirit. But we still await. We await becoming completely what we were meant to be. No human effort could ever transform us, and no power of the will could ever transmute us, only the power of God can complete the new creation we yearn for, we ache for, and sometimes are willing to fight for, mistakenly believing that our power can bring in God's kingdom. But we can't. Only our faith and our willingness to follow humbly the will of God brings in bits of God's kingdom. Only humility and faith, and none of our cleverness, and none of our haughtiness, and none of our changing beliefs du jour can do it. Imagine Jesus told people that their sins were forgiven. This makes sense only if Jesus was God in flesh. C.S. Lewis wrote these very strong words. He said, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic or else the devil. And you could shut him up for a fool, or you could spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you could fall at his feet and worship him as Lord and God. But let us not," C.S. Lewis continues, "let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to." You know, lately, Easter has meant more to me because the older I get, and I guess this happens to everybody, the older I get, the more people I know who have already passed on beyond this life and into God's embrace. But my point this morning is there is more, so much more to Easter and to our faith than just life after death. There is more. Easter means God has made new life possible now. Jesus, the second Adam. We who follow Him. Don't fall victim to the one-dimensional faith which says something like this. And some people have their faith down to this, and it does bother me. They say, "Now let's see, I am gullible enough to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and so God has to reward me with heaven, and between my saying that I believe and my death, well, I'm pretty much the same as everybody else." Is that all there is to Christian faith? No. I am saying that real life begins the moment you understand that you need a Savior and God has provided you one in Jesus Christ. And the resurrection is the proof of God's continuing determination to bring a new creation upon this earth and a new creation into the souls of believers. Even now, the ascended Christ continues His ministry of new life through the Holy Spirit. We don't just believe and sit and wait for death, and then something happens. Something has already happened. Something we celebrate today. God was in Christ making peace by the blood of His cross. And so, is your marriage dead? Resurrection is possible. Is your career dead? Resurrection is possible. Is your faith dead? Resurrection is possible. Do you have an old-time friendship broken and now dead? Then resurrection is possible. Is the ability to enjoy life dead? Resurrection is possible. Easter means now, even now, the ascended Christ continues His ministry through the Holy Spirit. Something has already happened. And unlike other faiths where the teaching is the thing, Jesus quite clearly said, "I am the way." He's the firstborn as proof that God is active as Creator and new creation. And new hearts, melted and mended and able to love, can be created now. No matter how long you've been dead to the possibility of feeling love and compassion again. Resurrection. That event dramatically changed everything. It changed everything. The disciples even changed the day of worship from the Jewish Sabbath to the Lord's Day, Sunday. That is why we worship today, because Sunday was the day in which they celebrated the Passover meal, which took on new meaning in Christ's resurrection. It became known as the Lord's Day and became the new day of worship for the Christians. It changed everything. The magic and the marvel of life itself can be recreated in you and felt and lived and loved again with God and with others, because Jesus has shown us that death and sin and judgment and spin cannot hold us. So don't wait for the eternal. Take the new life now. And let this Easter be an Easter of rebirth and renewal. He is risen. He is risen. And He has become the life and the truth and the way to God. We need not wait. Let us take that way today and always. Amen. I ask you to be seated for just one moment as I call forward those who will transfer their membership and join our church today. I ask the congregation to turn to page 46 as they come forward. Easter is traditionally a day in which members join the church or recommit and reaffirm their faith. And we welcome today the Leggs, the Wilsons, and Jasmine McKee and her son Gabriel. Where is Jasmine? Welcome forward. Jasmine, is Jasmine here today? Oh, she's in the nursery. Someone go get her quickly. Page 46. Now, I'm going to give my instructions this time very clearly. We are going to stop at the end, these who reaffirm their faith and the congregation along with them. We're going to stop before we get to the bracketed answer. As I ask the questions, only the first lines are necessary, please. And I'm sure that Jasmine will be here in just a moment. But we'll have you welcome our new members as they arrive at the end of our service. Now, to all those gathered here today, both reaffirming your faith and affirming it, do you, in the presence of God and this congregation, renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? Do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? And now, congregation, join with me, first lines only, all together. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit. And now, do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? I do. And I ask you who are transferring and joining today, this is Jasmine. And I ask all of you today, do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? I do. Okay. And I'll ask you, as the choir sings for us to exit, and you will be greeted. But first, our benediction blessing. Receive this blessing. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who gave you birth and a physical manifestation, give you also new birth, a melting of your heart so that you might love, might forgive, might feel compassion and hope as Christ did, as the firstborn of a new creation. Let us follow after Him. Let us live like Him. Let us have the mind in us that was in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.